Rob Bell, whose last name rhymes with hell, doesn't believe in hell anymore. Not since 2 years ago, when he wrote a book called Love Wins, a book about heaven and hell and the fate of every person who ever lived. Truth is, a lot of people don't believe in hell. But what makes Rob Bell's unbelief in hell significant is his background. Bell was the founder of a Mars Hill Bible Church in Grandview, Michigan. In his 2011 book, Love Wins, he had a falling out with his congregation when he questioned the existence of hell and the evangelical teaching that only those who believe in Jesus go to heaven. 2 years ago, Bell's hell was the rage. Now it's heaven's turn. Today, everyone is talking about heaven, in part due to another pastor, Todd Burpo. He wrote a little book called Heaven is for Real, a little boy's astounding story of his trip to heaven and back. Pastor of a small rural congregation in Nebraska, Burpo tells how his young son, Colton, emerged from life-saving surgery with a remarkable story about visiting heaven. Now, at first, his parents dismissed this as simply a child's imagination, a young boy's way of dealing with the trauma of surgery, hospitals, and doctors. However, when the young Colton began to reveal information about members of the family who were already deceased, and otherwise had no way of knowing, his parents became like Thomas. They stopped doubting and believed. Colton said he met in heaven his miscarried sister, whom no one had ever told him about, and his great-grandfather who had died 30 years before. 30 years before Colton was born. And then he shared impossible to know details about their lives. Yes, heaven is front and center today. Even our own Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has just published a book about heaven. And the interesting thing is they did this in conjunction with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. The agreement about heaven was reached as the 11th round of the U.S. Lutheran Catholic Dialogue concluded. Now, I have to stop here for a moment. It seems to me unbelievable that they would call these conversations between Lutherans and Catholics a round, you know, like in a fight. Okay, after the 11th round, the Roman Catholics are leading 3-1. I don't know why they do that. They have been doing these conversations since the late 60s and early 70s. They just concluded that 11th round of dialogue. And what did our Lutheran and Roman Catholic brothers and sisters have to say about heaven? All right, now some of you are going to have to grab the bottom of your pew and hold on here. Ready? They said they don't believe in heaven. Yes, that is exactly what they said. They believe, rather, in the hope of eternal life. Here's exactly what they said. Our churches affirm that death cannot destroy the communion with God of those redeemed and justified. The nature of the life that the justified departed share with God cannot be described in great detail, and in this life, it remains a great mystery. Nevertheless, Catholics and Lutherans share the sure and certain hope that the justified departed are in Christ and enjoy the rest that belongs to those who have run the race. Now, if you wish to read the entire study of The Hope of Eternal Life, Common Statement of the 11th Round of the United States Lutheran Catholic Dialogue, it is available from Amazon for $22. For those of you who think you might get a bargain by buying it from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America website, it is the same price. A year ago, you could have downloaded the entire book for free. So, whatever happened to heaven, you ask? Well, nothing, really. I mean, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, heaven is non-existent. The Jewish people had no afterlife. In the New Testament, the use of the word heaven is little more than a metaphor, often a simile, a way for Jesus to say something like, well, the kingdom of heaven is like what we understand heaven to be is a place, not a geographical place, not a place that has any boundaries as we would recognize boundaries, certainly no golf courses or serene lakes or mountaintop vistas. The only book of the Bible that talks about heaven in any way at all is the book of Revelation. And what the book of Revelation, what the writer of our second reading says to us today is this: heaven, wherever that is a place where God is with those redeemed in Christ Jesus. Heaven never had any traction in the church's early theology. Heaven only exists because there is hell. In the Middle Ages, heaven and hell were in contrast. Heaven, of course, was that place for the good and the holy, and hell was that place for the bad and the wicked. In truth, heaven is never promised to those who believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. What is promised to us, what is promised to us over and over again, is something called eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life as in the most memorized and quoted verse of Scripture. You know that verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have what? Eternal life. You just finished singing the gospel acclamation. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of what? Not the words of heaven, but the words of eternal life. And when the rich young ruler ran up to Jesus, he didn't say, what must I do to inherit heaven? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Eternal life. This is what Jesus, in our gospel lesson this morning, for this fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, from that 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, promises us eternal life. Listen again. The Good Shepherd promises to give his sheep, the flock who hear his voice, the sheep who follow him, the sheep he knows, eternal life, and no one will ever be able to take that from them. But it's much more fun to speculate on what heaven is like, isn't it? What do you think, huh? Will your dog be there, your cat? That is the most often asked question of me about heaven. 4 years of theological training, $50,000 in loans, and people say, will my pet be with me in heaven? Some are hoping for a golf course. I will be happy if I get ice cream every night. Eternal life. That expression doesn't invoke our imagination at all. Heaven does. Eternal life. Really, what does that mean? Now, I understand what the word eternal means. Eternal is what? Forever and ever. Right? But eternal also has a ring of the, I don't know, interminable. I remember once when we took our daughter to Disney World. This was when we were living on the East Coast. We took her to Disney World, and we took her on that ride called It's a Small, Small World. Any of you been on that ride? You know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine being stuck in there for a half hour? We were stuck in a half hour. It's a small, small world. It was eternal life. Sometimes when we think of the word eternal, it's like you can't get a song out of your head. And then there's the word life itself. What does that mean, really? Which life are we talking about? Are we talking about the life past, or the life present, or the life future? The life BK, before my daughter Katie? We even use expressions like, well, that was in another lifetime. Or, well, yeah, maybe I'll do that in another life. We think of life as breathing, living, sweating, bleeding. But I wonder if it isn't more what is a meaningful life? What is a purposeful life? What is the deepest yearning? What is the deepest yearning that we have? Last year, within literally weeks of each other, I had two people ask me about eternal life. One of them is a very dear friend. He is a professor at an Ivy League school. We have been friends for over 30 years. And he said to me, Wayne, I haven't given up on resurrection and eternal life, but I got to tell you, in all my years as a scientist, I can tell you that nothing exists after death, and I can't put these two things together. Can you help me? I think of resurrection and eternal life as being simply metaphorical and not historical. That's a quote. It wasn't but a week later that I received a letter in the mail from a businessman, a very successful businessman who's now retired and has the enviable position of being able to sit around and think a lot about theology. And he sent me a clipping from a national magazine, Time, that had an article in the April 2012, and the title of it was, Heaven Can't Wait, Why Rethinking the Hereafter Could Make the World a Better Place. Now, if I were to begin to help these two faithful seekers, I think I would point them to what Jesus says in today's gospel. Jesus promises eternal life. But what is eternal life? Here I find helpful what Father James Smith wrote in a homiletical journal called Celebration. He actually challenged his readers to do this. He says that you can faithfully substitute these two words for every time you see or read eternal life in the Bible. And those two words are everlasting and love. You'll need a concordance to do it. I tried it. It works flawlessly, and the meaning simply jumps off the page at you. Think about that again. Think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting love. Works, doesn't it? Try this one. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting love. And the rich young ruler ran up to Jesus and said, What must I do to inherit everlasting love? We begin to get an idea and understanding. Everlasting. Everlasting is more like a perfume that permeates the air, or the way a kiss is embossed in the memory long after the fact. Everlasting is not a dreary procession of time. It is more like a cessation of time, the essence of time. Something everlasting doesn't take time at all. And the word life, and again, Father James Smith, that isn't satisfying either, because life is so encompassing, so complex. So let's try the word love for life. You live in general, but you love in particular. Love is more personal. It's okay to like everyone, but you love only as you can. And isn't it love? Isn't it everlasting love that gives meaning to our lives and purpose? Is it not everlasting love that is our deepest yearning? I remember as a child, when I was 3 or 4 years old, I remember this distinctly. We'd be coming home late at night, and I would be asleep in the back seat. But I wasn't so asleep that I didn't know what was happening. I knew that the car had pulled into the driveway of our home. I could hear the driver's door opening and my father getting out. And the next thing he would do, he would open the back door, and he would reach in, and he would scoop me up. And he would take me into the house and up the stairs and to my bed. And I remember thinking, I can still remember this clearly when this would happen. I never felt more secure. I never felt more safe. I never felt more loved than in my father's arms. And I wanted that to happen again and again and again. And sometimes I would fake being asleep. But he knew every time I was faking it. And I'd have to walk on my own. Everlasting love. This is the hope of eternal life. Everlasting love. That's what it is we Christians cling to. That's what it is we sheep of the Good Shepherd's flock receive. And every time that flock comes to feed at this pasture, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. We receive the gift of God's grace and favor. We do hear his voice. He does know us. And we follow him into everlasting love. This is our hope. Our hope of eternal life is the joy of everlasting love in our heavenly Father's arms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.